Friends, I am so excited, like a little nerdy excited, to introduce this next sermon series through the Epiphany season that we'll be going through together. I write most of the sermon series that we go through, and this one is called Go Tell It, and it's based upon the hymn that most of us are familiar with, Go Tell It on the Mountain, which is actually an African-American spiritual hymn on liberation from oppression. As well, we're going to be leaning into two texts specifically. One that I use for reference is James Baldwin's Go Tell It on the Mountain. This one, I do have to caution you if you do want to read it. If you are a sensitive reader like myself, there are recounts of abuse of this young African-American man in Harlem from his youth. So if you're a sensitive reader like me, just know that there are a few pages I did indeed have to skip. One that I do not have to give you caution and preface at all is by James Cone. James Cone is the father of Black liberation theology. This book is called Said I Wasn't Gonna Tell Nobody. It's a really easy digest. I say easy digest, but it's an easier one of his books to digest and to read through. I gotta say, I'm passionate about this sermon series because I went to McCormick Theological Seminary, based out of Chicago, the greatest seminary in the nation, in my personal opinion. But it was a great privilege and a challenge to be the only white woman that graduated in my class. And I learned an immense amount in my time in seminary. And then I was ordained to predominantly white congregations. And I've been living with this tension of how do I proclaim these theologies, these liberation theologies that I learned and listened to and sat with for a few years into these congregations. And so for the next several weeks, it's going to be a little uncomfortable. But it's going to be a good uncomfortable because that's the truth of what the gospel means for us. That's the truth of incarnation, of Christ dwelling among us, of Christ coming for the oppressed and the marginalized. So we start this Sunday, Go Tell It to the World. And we come to this hymn, Go Tell It on the Mountain, over the hills and everywhere. You see, we might sing this song, we might feel this Christmas nostalgia within us. However, this song was written in a Black community of faithful bodies who lived closely with oppression, who lived as marginalized folks, who were singing Jesus Christ is born, not in a comfortable setting, but as a bold proclamation in a world that refused to acknowledge their humanity. So Go Tell It on the Mountain is not something to make us feel comfortable. It's something, in fact, that we have to live in the discomfort and proclaim it to the world. And in this season of Epiphany, this season that means revealing, church, you and I get to ask ourselves this question: will we whisper the gospel of good news softly in the comfort of our own congregations and communities? Or will we boldly proclaim it? And will we stand with those who have been oppressed by the systems in place? You see, this text that we are gleaning from this morning from John. John does not begin with shepherds or angels. He doesn't begin like the Gospel of Matthew with genealogy of Jesus' humanity. No, he starts from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What a poetic and profound statement to begin the gospel with. And it's a reminder to you and I that this was before time itself. This was a statement before empire, before power, before these systems of power and dominance were in place, reminding us that Jesus was not a response to violence and response to the broken world, but that Jesus was always the intention. Christ was always the intention before the beginning of humanity. It was always Jesus. It wasn't just an afterthought or a response. And John says that the Word is life, and that life is light. And I love that line as Pastor Joy read. And the light shines in the darkness. The darkness did not overcome it. Not maybe not overcome it, not eventually won't overcome it, the darkness will never overcome the light. And then John makes one of the most dangerous claims in all of Scripture, that this word that was in the beginning and was with God and was God, that word became flesh and dwelt among us, reminding us that God does not save from afar. God does not tune in virtually from far away. That God moves into the neighborhood, as the Message translation writes. And that is paramount for our Christian faith. In fact, James Cone, the father of Black liberation theology, would say that this flesh matters. Because it says that Jesus didn't float above suffering. Jesus entered into suffering. Jesus entered into the flesh of a body that would be mocked and beaten and crucified and murdered. Let that sink in for a second. James Cone says that that matters. That flesh that Jesus came into matters for all bodies, especially those living in suffering and oppression. James Cone reminds that if God truly became human, then God stands with those who are oppressed, the crucified, the ones society deems as expendable. Any version of Christianity that separates Jesus from suffering bodies has already abandoned the incarnation. And then John tells us something that's really sobering. He says he came to what was his own, and his own did not receive him. Did you catch that in the beauty of all that poetry of the scripture? He came to that which was his own, and his own did not receive him? James Cone names in this that light does not go unopposed. Light does not go unopposed. Darkness resists exposure. Truth threatens systems that are relying on lies to survive. And this is where we must be honest with ourselves. And most importantly, not only about the world, but we must be honest about our own church and the church within America. Now, within this book, Said I Wasn't Gonna Tell Nobody, and most of James Cone's writing, he says a lot of things that make people feel very unsettled. He says this one statement, and I'm going to say it to you today, and I've been wrestling with it for almost a decade. He says the white church of America is the Antichrist. I'm going to say it again. The white church of America is the Antichrist. Now let me be very, very clear here. He's not saying it because white folks are inherently evil, but because white churches that bless slavery, that stay silent amongst lynching, that segregate their own congregations, and do not stand up against systems that crucify people for the color of their skin, and yet proclaim the name of Jesus. That is what Cone is aiming at in this text. Now, some of us might be thinking, this is of the past, right? This is still not, America has made so much progress. Need I remind you that it was just almost 4 years ago, March of 2022, when the Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act was finally passed, was acknowledged at a federal level. And what this did was it made lynching a federal hate crime. Before this, it was just a state crime. So it was each state got to make their own laws around lynching. And you can imagine there was some southern states that often did not convict anybody, that no one was held accountable. And if we read about lynching, we might say that happened decades ago. That was of the 20th century. There are news headlines that national media doesn't often pick up. There are news headlines that predominantly white media does not cover. Just this past November 2025, there was a man found hanging in a tree in Wisconsin. It was a man, it was a black body. And officials and investigators were quick to deem it as a suicide. And the family demands investigation otherwise. Friends, I don't stand up here saying this news to make us feel more restless, but because what I'm proclaiming here, what James Cone has already said, what James Baldwin has already said, what the Gospel of John told us thousands of years ago, this matters. That the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, not to make us feel comfortable, but to remind us that we stand with a light, that we are to be the light of the world, and that this darkness that we talk about, the darkness is always going to fight back. The darkness is always going to resist the light. And in John's gospel, the Antichrist is not this future villain. It's anything that denies Christ's presence among the oppressed. It's whatever calls darkness order and calls light too political. Cone is simply echoing John's truth here, that the light shines in the darkness, and this darkness always fights back. And when the church aligns itself with power instead of the powerless, it does not misunderstand Jesus. It's rejecting Jesus. And John pauses throughout this poetic passage and to introduce this witness that we read about of John. John the Baptist. John the Baptist came to testify to the light. He refused to remain silent about who Christ is. He comes to testify and to tell the truth of what he has seen. And testimony is rarely neutral. To testify is to speak even when it costs you your own safety, even when it costs you your own comfort or the approval of others. Cone warns us that silence in the face of injustice is not humility, it's complicity. The gospel does not give us permission to remain quiet while others are suffering. To bear witness to the light means to face the darkness honestly. And in this season, the season of Epiphany, Epiphany means revealing, making known what God has done. The light of Christ is given to us not as private comfort, but as public transformation. It exposes sin, dismantles lies, and calls the church back to the faithfulness that Christ showed us thousands of years ago. Go tell it on the mountain, this fun hymn that we sing together, is not a suggestion, it's a command. To sing this song and tell it in places of power, to tell it in places where injustice has been normalized, and to tell it where the church has been silent for far too long. Because Jesus Christ is born, not as a mascot for empire, but as light to the world. Church, Epiphany does not just reveal Christ. It reveals us. It's a mirror of us looking back at ourselves and the way we've evolved throughout history. It reveals where we have loved comfort more than the truth. It reveals to us where we have preferred silence over witness. It reveals to us where we have benefited from systems that still crucify. But here's the good news amidst this heavy message on this Sunday morning. Repentance is not despair. It is return. Within this text in John, it says, to all who received him, he gave power to become children of God. You and I are empowered by a spirit. Not a spirit that'll make us feel comfortable and come to church once a week and sing good hymns and return back to the comfort of our own homes and the communities that we like to be a part of. No. To become children of God, to become light of the world, to fight darkness that resists exposure. So today we do repent. We repent of a gospel that refuses to confront injustice. We repent of a faith that separates Jesus from the suffering. We repent of a church that wants resurrection without the cross. I select the hymns each Sunday, and this Sunday we sang that I Dance in the Morning, as Pastor Alex said. And there's 5 verses, and I usually try and make it easy for us. We only sing about 3 verses. But the second verse I chose, if you read it, it's whipped and stripped. Oh, that doesn't, I was even typing it like, this does not make you feel good singing it. And it's paramount for our Christian faith. It's important that we boldly sing and proclaim this good news. Because if we just skip over the crucifixion and straight to the resurrection, we miss the point of Christ's incarnation. We turn again and again and again and again towards light. You and I get to be the history makers, constantly turning towards the light and exposing such darkness. Not to manage it, not to soften it, but to follow the light. Because the Word became flesh. Because the light still shines. And because the darkness never has and never will overcome it. So church, we must go. We must go tell it on the mountain. We must go tell it in the valley. We must go tell it to the world. Amen.